T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, now I'm ready to go, okay? And that hopefully will get you out of the funk that you're in.
AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Prince, oh, some sweet moves on the baseline today.
This is a finals week edition of AJ and Dusty.
Brought to you by Claussen Heating and Air Conditioning. Their experts are focused on one thing, your comfort. Schedule your free estimate at ClaussenHeating.com. It's hard to stop a train.
My own family. And all Beaver Nation. Hell of a deal right now.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
It's a wonderful day. It's Oregon. The sun was out. Come on.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday to you. The 2nd of April, 2021. The sun is shining. It's beautiful on the South Waterfront front here in Portland, Oregon. And you guys have done it. You ran off AJ after a month. You did it. Only a month. She's already out.
You did it.
Wait.
It's your fault.
No, 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 no. Don't applause that. No, she's on vacation. She's taking a little break. Scheduled day off for AJ McCord. She told us that at the end of the show. She said, no, I'm not coming back. Tomorrow, she's down in beautiful San Diego.
Well, let me tell you something. I know that it could be you that might have ran her off.
Okay.
Because only a media professional could do something like that. And let me tell you something else.
I am a pro.
Only a media professional like you could go 0 to 60 and then flip it back to 180 like you did just now for the start of the show.
That's what I'm talking
right
about.
Before the intro, your computer again decided.
I don't want to talk about it, Will.
Decided to do an update. And this is a big update.
I know.
Like installing some type of software. Like iTunes or something.
It's so, probably Adobe 5 billion point 8
Flash, whatever, that you have no idea why you need it. You were screaming through the microphone at me, and then right when the music started playing, you put on this like huge like smile, and we're like, "All right, everybody, the weather's out today." That's pro, man.
Well, nobody wants to hear about my computer updating again because this is like the billionth time. It is something that is infuriating me, and I've pushed past it. But
well, clearly you haven't because you just screamed before the show.
Well, I know, but you know what made me smile? Looking outside, seeing the sunshine, and you know, like it puts me in a good mood. When you go out and like neighbors are all out working in their yards and you get the smell of bark dust going and everything like that. Like that makes me happy. Like that's one of those things that the little things in life that make you happy is like mowing the lawn, fresh cut grass, all that stuff.
That's just American there.
I bet there's people in everywhere. I don't know if like. I think everywhere you love the smell of fresh cut grass.
Probably not places where they don't love freedom. That's what it's about here.
Freedom of grass.
You love freedom. You love the smell of fresh cut grass. You love manure.
You know what? I think you're onto something there.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something there.
You know, when you do mention that too, that's like one of those signs that you know good weather is here to stay. Like, I see that a lot because you were mentioning that you had your neighbors cutting your lawn and shoveling stuff or whatever.
No, they were not cutting my lawn.
Oh, they were cutting their own lawn.
I mean, I got great neighbors, but they're not cutting my lawn. Like, they're not doing that.
Another sign that I noticed, we live in a little cul-de-sac where there's about 10, 12 homes.
I'm all about cul-de-sac life. I know people hate cul-de-sacs. I love cul-de-sacs.
And I noticed...
Rep the sack.
There is a...
What?
Did you say rip the sack?
No.
No, rep it. Okay. Yeah. I noticed there was a group of like 10 children when I was driving home yesterday. They were all in a biker gang and they were biking around and screaming. And I was like, you know what? This means good weather's here to stay. Yeah. Right here.
Oh, it's totally not. Like it's probably going to rain tomorrow.
No way, baby. This is it. This is it for the next 4 months. Just sun, good times, and good tunes.
Yeah, biker gangs are where it's at, man. When you're in middle school, and that was like when we moved from the country to a neighborhood, linked up with my biker gang, and man, we raised some hell together.
Yeah. What was the hell you raised? Now, how old are you at this point?
Like 12, 13. Yeah,
that's right.
You know? Hell that we rose. It wasn't like... all that bad. It was just going around doing, you know, stupid middle school kid stuff. Like, all right, well, I mean, one day we decided like, all right, we're going to ride our bikes from Hillsboro to downtown Portland.
Okay. So your buns were burning afterwards, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And we figured out like, all right, can't take the freeway. So we we mapped our way back roading it. All the way to downtown Portland.
That's not very mischievous. That's just you got a good workout.
That's what I'm saying. No, it's not. We weren't like, hey, let's get a good workout, bro. It's let's just go. Like, it was just be home by the time the sun went down. And so we'd go out and we'd do dumb stuff like that.
See,
you know?
Yeah.
You want to go see a dead body? Wait, what?
You kids want to see a dead body.
You
want
to see a dead body? No, we've just like cruise around just aimlessly riding our bikes, whether it was like going to downtown Hillsboro, going over to friend's house, just like riding by, you know, girl's house all creepily. I'm pretty sure the cops get called on you now if you just ride up and down a street because, you know, my buddy thinks his cute girl lives there.
Mm.
You know, we did stupid stuff like that.
Now, see, you've mentioned an age where you can, it really is the pinnacle of getting into tomfoolery, but it's like,
innocent.
What side do you go on? Because, see, you went on the innocent side of tomfoolery. That's probably as innocent as it gets. Hey, guys, let's ride our bikes from Hillsboro to Portland.
Like,
that's
innocent. Yeah, we were not like, I mean, like, well, and this is where I go, like, I read like a news story. I'm like, what? How do kids think like that?
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, oh, yeah, kids these days. No, I mean, like, we weren't the middle schoolers that were, you know, smoking pot and, you know, getting hammered, stuff like that. That wasn't me and my crew.
And so it's like a scale of 1 to 10, right? You were probably on, like, the 3 side. I'd even give you a 4 because you went quite a long way. You rode your bike quite a long way. I'm guessing your parents didn't know you were doing it.
Oh, I had
right?
no idea.
Okay, so I mean, that's kind
of
risque.
They had no idea we were doing.
A little bit risque. Now, I'm going to give you a 7 here. You ready for this?
All right.
Because I'll give you a 7 of when I was 12 or 13 and what me and my neighbor buddy did. We had a other neighbor that was remodeling his home or something, and he got a crew there. And the crew, well, they had to go to the bathroom because they're human. The guy was like, no, no, no. You're not going to the bathroom in my house. You're going to use the porta potty. So he got a porta potty, and he put it out in the middle of the street. Well, the crew can't work all the time, right? They can't work at night. So me and my buddy went and bought a bunch of fireworks. It was near 4th of July. And every night we would go to the porta potty and we would light off fireworks inside of it. And it would just explode everywhere.
Every night you would do this?
Every night. 12 years old, July, had nothing to do. Football hadn't quite started yet. And it was like a good 2 weeks where my buddy and I would just take fireworks in there and just light them off.
To whose porta potty was this again?
It was our neighbor's porta potty who had bought it for the workers working on his home. And he only found out because my friend pushed it too far and goes, let's do it during the day. And I go, don't do it during the day. He's going to see us in there. He goes, no, let's do it during the day. Wait, we did it during the day and got caught.
You guys are lighting fire. Like, wait, he didn't hear the fireworks in the porta potty at his house?
Oh, people heard. We just got out of there too quick.
Yeah. I mean, look. Porta-potta tipping is something that happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tipping. Yeah. But this is an explosion. Like, there was stuff everywhere on the inside of that thing.
Yeah.
Now, I felt bad.
That's aggressive.
Yeah, it was very aggressive. I felt bad because it's one of those...
You should.
It's one of those flexes you do as a teenager.
It's not a flex.
It's kind of a flex. It's one of those flexes you do as a teenager.
I believe that's a misdemeanor.
That you, like, look back on and you're like, wow, that was kind of a jerk move to those workers.
It's a big-time jerk move. Because the workers were already getting the jerk move done that they couldn't even use a bathroom.
Believe me, I've thought about it a lot as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's like a 7. And then what you were referencing, the 10, that's like, let's go smoke pot.
Yeah. Like, that wasn't in my purview.
My stepdad has some weed. Let's go smoke it.
Yeah.
That's like your 10.
Yeah. That wasn't my realm in the middle school years.
Somebody on the text line, I'll give you a 1. My friends and I were dropping acid at 13.
Holy crap. That is aggressive. Like that is really aggressive.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what time period that texture lived in. I mean, acid was more kind of common in the 60s and 70s. Could be an older listener.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my God. Yeah, that was, but the mischief stuff, I think that was, I wonder if the mischief, like the innocent kind of mischief, not blowing up porta potties.
That's a 7.
That's a 7. But like rearranging yards and like taking construction cones. Like there's a roundabout in a neighborhood that everybody hated. And they took out the roundabout. Well, there'd be people that would put the cones back in the roundabout circle. So folks in the neighborhood think that they're putting the roundabout back in just to piss them off.
Ah.
But herein lies the other problem. Where did those construction cones come from? Something that actually needed the public to be protected from.
Yeah.
And therein lies the inherent danger behind that. And when that was explained, the cone stopped.
Yeah.
The cone stopped.
You kind of got it. You were like, oh, I get it now. Yeah. It's probably not a good idea.
All right. Well, hey, maybe the middle school kids can go out and have some good old-fashioned mischief. Not misdemeanors like Will.
That's not a misdemeanor.
But adventures.
How is that a misdemeanor? What are the police going to ticket me for?
Vandalism, for trespassing.
For throwing a cherry bomb down a porta potty.
I think
for 2 straight weeks.
I mean, I just listed 14 counts of vandalism and trespassing. I'm just glad nobody was taking a dump while you did it. You know, that would have been real bad.
Well, no, because we did it at night.
You never know.
Although, yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah.
You never know.
Somebody's on a night walk. They got something going.
You never know.
Other part about that was that the final time we did it, something caught fire inside. There was a small little fire.
Steaming dump.
Yeah. And my friend goes, well, put it out. And I go, we don't have any water. He goes, well, we got to do something. And he starts doing some zots of hand sanitizer.
That's flammable.
It was. And he threw it on it, and the fire got bigger.
My God. And see, this is why middle school kids are idiots.
Yes.
I mean, it's a very fair assessment there.
12 years old. That was his solution. He was like, you know what? We don't have water. Let's take the thing with alcohol in it. And that might show how innocent we were, because we didn't understand alcohol was flammable, because we had no experience with it. Just blowing stuff up.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. You always hear those stories and like, here's like the guy who's like at 13, we were taking acid, he and his buddies. You hear those aggressive stories and you're like, whoa.
What's aggressive about that?
A lot.
Have you ever done acid, Dusty?
No. I will not. Ever.
So how do you know it's aggressive?
Because like I know acid is a mind altering drug and it's not good for you to take like at all. You know, going to school in Ashland, you see some of the burnouts as they are.
Did you?
Yeah.
Big time now.
Yeah. The ones that took the acid in the 70s and never seemed to leave.
Yeah.
And they just kind of stuck around, the old hippies who were phenomenal to talk to.
Reciting Shakespeare on the street?
Absolutely not. No. No, 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 no. But, no, I will not be taking acid. Have you? Take an acid, Will Darkins.
Oh, we don't need to get into that.
All right, that's a soft yes.
Don't soft need to yes. Get into that.
All right, soft. Hard yes, then.
There was a hike.
All right. See, but, you know some people that that did a lot of hiking on the acid, too. Not my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea there. All right. All right.
Somebody, yeah, and a bunch of people on the text line are also just, like, listing out everything that I guess I could have been charged for. Vandalism, trespassing, minors in possession of explosives. That's okay. Another one. Arson, criminal mischief. Okay. God, so I guess I could have gotten arrested. I mean, not arrested, but I could have gotten a good stern talking to. Maybe gotten to juvie. Would they have taken me to juvie if I would have just exploded that thing? Like, I'm talking like movie style, like the roof and walls explode outward and like just gone. Like that porta potty is no longer a thing.
Yeah, they would have taken you to juvie, Will. Like, yes. I'm not sure what answer you want me to give you there. Are you wanting me to tell you no to make yourself sleep at night?
Looking for more reassurance here. More like the, no, you're all right.
No, you'd be screwed, bro. Gonna go ahead and, if your neighbor would have been like, hey, the idiot kid next door, the one who dresses like Curious George.
Yeah.
That kid is throwing cherry bombs into my porta potty and he's done it for 2 weeks in a row. Like this is, will you come and lock this idiot up? They'd be like, oh yeah, that's no problem.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'll bring in the K-9.
Yeah. We'll bring down the man in the yellow hat and we'll give this curious looking George kid a stern talking to.
Round him up.
Which, if you don't know what that is, somebody asked, why does Will dress like Curious George earlier this week? Which didn't make really sense because Curious George is always naked.
Yeah. Well, I thought he meant the man in the yellow hat. And it was that day I was wearing khakis and a pretty banal t-shirt. So I was like, okay, yeah, maybe.
Yep.
I could look like the man in the yellow hat.
Mm. This is a great summation of our conversation. Will, have you ever murdered someone? Dusty, no. Will, then how do you know it's bad? Dusty, I just know, Will. Will, but do you really?
I'm just saying, it's one of those you got to try it things.
Oh, man.
Especially with the fireworks. But you know what? That's like, that's what is so great about summer. I mean, not what I did. But like just the kind of the tomfoolery, like what you did, that kind of thing. That's what's great about kids in summer. It's getting on your bike, going out, having an adventure, going over to your buddy's place and
doing stupid stuff
in the basement, playing some N64, staying up too late, just having some fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that kind of year. I'm looking outside. I see the weather. It's that kind of year right now. Right now.
Mm. All right. 503-250-1080. You guys have already got some great, great texts coming in on the fan text line. We will get to those as the show goes on. Andrew Nemec, our recruiting insider, recruiting show with Andrew Nemec, heard it last night, 7 to 8 p.m., right here on the fan. He's going to join us because, look, it's picking up on the recruiting front for Oregon and Oregon State. What is the state of the mandate, the no on-campus visits mandates that you have in the NCAA, how are kids being recruited right now with a spring football season in Oregon and Washington? Those are things that we're following. Plus, what does Tony Stubblefield leaving the Oregon men's basketball program mean for the Ducks recruiting? He's now the head man at DePaul. So Andrew Nemec will join us at 12:30. At 1:30, we'll head down to Eugene Tyson Alger of The Athletic. He covers the Ducks. Penny Sewell and the rest of the Ducks are going through their pro day right now down in Eugene. Plus, spring ball has a big question to be asked. Who will be the starting quarterback? We have a lot to get to today, but where we got to start, those three letters that will define careers will be won and lost in the next 28 days. AJ and Dusty, AJ is out. This is 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, you guys are hooligans out there, and I love every minute of it. It could be cathartic for you guys just to tell these stories of the terrible things you did, although I don't want to be implicated in any criminal investigations, because that may happen if they're too bad, the stories that are going to be coming out here. We have guys like we used to throw, hop into people's backyards and throw chairs out into the forest. I feel bad about it every day. Yeah, you probably should. Like, <they're laughs> yeah.
Yeah.
That's not cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those dumb things, like porta potty tipping.
Yeah.
Feel bad about it.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. But it's okay. Cathartic experience here. Let it all out.
That's why the text line is completely anonymous, except we have your phone number, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't send me those ones that I have to tell the police about.
Yeah, because we could just give that to them.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of accident, like a guy said, used to shoot Roman candles into open windows. That's not safe.
No, but I can imagine just...
You ever have a Roman candle fight?
No.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, no, and my idiot friends did that a lot in high school.
Oh, really? Tell me more about your time with Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah, no. That's not... No, that you don't give yourself a rim shot... Because that rim shot fart?
Oh.
A rim fart?
Oh, me and JPP, you know, the times we had.
Roman candles, like, they just shoot, like, a little right at you,
a little spark.
A little ball of fire. And then you realize how dumb it is that you're doing this in the middle of July. Kind of dry.
Well, you know something? It's interesting that you bring that up because it's like... The tomfoolery that kid who started the Columbia
Stop
fire.
Sounding like you're a million years old and saying like, tomfoolery.
It is tomfoolery. Like, what was that fire? The fire in the gorge?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years back. I mean, that started with tomfoolery. That was kids playing with fireworks.
Well, yeah, but he was like dropping them in and people were like literally telling him to stop.
Yeah.
And he kept doing it.
And see, that's like the 10, 11, where you just don't want to be. You got to scale it down. Like, I'm going to tell, and I would hope you do this with your kids, too. I'm going to tell my future kids, like, look, here's the scale. Here's the type of tomfoolery you can get into when you're a preteen. You want to scale that, get that to a 5. If you get it to a 5, you're safe.
Mm. I don't know if that's safe. I don't know if that's safe. All right, the Blazers take on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. This could be the start of a wake-up call period for the Portland Trail Blazers, but it also could be the start of what would be considered a legitimate run at the MVP for Damian Lillard. I mean, those three little letters there, MVP, define careers for players. And it is incredible to see, like, from afar what people are feeling about Damian Lillard now. I saw that Sam Amick of The Athletic, he was talking about it. Look, this is Dame's got a shot. Damian Lillard has got a shot at the MVP, but over the next couple of months, this is going to be where he can really make up ground or lose that ground, because you got 16 games in the month of April. And we've talked about this run here in the near future, which is you have Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, the Clippers, and Utah. Those are the next four games for Portland. Three of those four are incredibly tough. But this is that stretch where the best ability is availability right now, with Joel Embiid going down, James Harden has gone down, you've got LeBron James has gone down, obviously Anthony Davis has been out for a while, Nikola Jokic and Damian Lillard have been this steady presence across the NBA, and they're getting the recognition for it now. And when you think about it, this month is huge for those two guys to make up that ground, as LeBron will have to be, one, getting back, and then two, getting his feet back, And everybody else, you're looking at which one of those two can not just tread water, but gain ground in the Western Conference. Because right now, Denver and Portland, this race is tied. And whichever one of those guys wins that is going to have the inside edge on that MVP, according to some of the people who follow the league and vote on the MVP.
Well, that's according to anybody that's watched the NBA for most of their lives, because, you know, I think we had this conversation a couple months back where we were trying to figure out MVP winners that were on teams that didn't finish first in their conference or finished, you know, second or somewhere around that top, you know, one, two, three seeded guys. I'd said Kevin Garnett. I remember we did research and turns out the Timberwolves were first in the Western Conference that season. He won the MVP with them. So it was like, you don't really find a lot. It took Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double with a really crappy Thunder team getting into the playoffs, I think in the seventh seed, for him to just win the MVP. So, like, everything is clicking right now if you're a Blazer fan hoping for Damian Lillard to win this thing. Like, everything. This is your moment, right? Even though Nikola Jokic is still playing pretty solid, he's going to have Aaron Gordon with him, which will take away a little bit of the Thunder. If you can get even just one seed ahead of them, and his stats start to go down a little bit, Nikola Jokic's, this is your opportunity and this is your chance. Because as you get to this 25-game mark left in the NBA season, you know the Philadelphia 76ers are going to start looking towards the playoffs. Uh-huh. You know that they're going to say to themselves, look how far ahead we are in the East right now in the top position. No way in hell we need to put Joel Embiid out there. I mean, there's no point for them. So at the end of the day, when you're entering this final stretch, you just have to ask yourself if you're a voter. Who is the guy at the end of this season who was really stealing all the headlines still? It's Damian Lillard.
Yep. And you know what the most incredible part is? And I think I like this out of the NBA. Is that if you look at who the legitimate candidates are for the MVP this year, they are the most valuable players in the league. One team that is not, actually two teams that are not even mentioned in this, have two of the best records in the NBA. Mm. The Utah Jazz do not have an MVP candidate, nor do the Phoenix Suns.
Well, I mean, it was Donovan Mitchell for a little while, but then that kind of faded off. And then the Suns, I think most people are just kind of attributing it to Chris Paul.
But, I mean, he's getting, like, it's just like, yeah, no, yeah. Chris Paul's really good. Like, yeah. We know he's Chris Paul's really good. But it's not even close because statistically, it's not there. And what Dame and Jokic are doing, people are able to see and recognize. It's not a best player on the best team award by any stretch of the imagination. 503-250-1080. That is the fan text. And one more on the Blazers, plus your feedback coming in throughout the course of the day. Coming up next, so let's talk a little recruiting here. It's starting to heat up for both the Ducks and the Beavers on the football front. And what does a pit bull recruiter leaving the Ducks basketball staff mean for Oregon's recruiting? Andrew Nemec of the Recruiting Show with Andrew Nemec Thursdays right here on The Fan joins us after Will with SportsCenter. All right. Just after 12:30, happy to be joined now by our recruiting insider. You can catch him Thursdays right here on The Fan from 7 to 8 p.m. on The Recruiting Show with Andrew Nemec and his work at the Oregonian and OregonLive.com. Andrew Nemec joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm not quite the bike riding rebel that you were growing up. Trekking all the way from Hillsboro to Portland. Be careful,
yeah,
man.
You know,
dangerous stuff.
Those mean
you
streets.
We're a troublemaker. Yeah. I bet you even skipped A class on senior skip day.
No, we didn't have that. We didn't have that. They just cut the last month of our school year off because we had budget cuts.
We better move on to recruiting, man. This is rough.
All right. Hey, what's going on the recruiting front, dude? It seems like right now is, I don't even know where to start because I've got a lot of questions for you, but let's start with the most recent news here. The Ducks lost a big recruiter in Tony Stubblefield on the basketball program, who is taking over the head job at DePaul. What does this mean on the recruiting front for the Oregon Ducks basketball program, who are coming off a great run this season?
Well, I think it's multifaceted. In the short term, Tony Stubblefield was integral in the recruitment of Jonathan Lawson. Jonathan Lawson's the number 57 prospect in the nation. He signed with Oregon in November, 6'7", 195-pound, kind of point forward, one of the best passers in the country as a 6'7", 190-pound forward. But that coupled with the news that his brother entered the transfer portal, leads me to believe there's a very, very good chance Jonathan Lawson moves on. I had a chance to talk to someone very close to him recently, a source very close to him, and he said they are weighing their options. They're going to have a discussion tonight, and there's a possibility we could see news on the Jonathan Lawson front quite soon. It could take time, but it is possible he makes a decision very soon, and I would expect him, frankly, to withdraw his commitment to, at this point, ask to be released from his national letter of intent. That's the short term. The long term, Oregon has had really success recruiting all over. They've had a great pipeline to Canada. That will remain. That is Mike Menega's territory. Dana Altman's done a good job there. The program in and of itself has enough of a reputation in Canada that they're going to maintain that. But Stubblefield recruited Bol Bol. He recruited Lou King. He recruited Chris Duarte, Elgin Cook, Jalen Terry. These are some of the best names the program's had in the last handful of years. So it's going to hurt. But any idea potentially that Oregon basketball is going to fall apart with this is going to be overstated. They do a nice job. He is not the only recruiter on the staff that does a nice job. But it is something to watch because he was connected and he was pulling in big-time recruits at a regular pace. Someone else is going to have to pick up some of the slack. But look, they still have Nathan Biddle coming in. Frank Kempnang came early, showed some flashes in March, and Nathan Biddle's the number 9 recruit in the nation, one of the highest-rated prospects in the history of the program. So things still looking good for Dana Altman. Of course, I imagine he'll add a couple transfers, and when the season tips off next year, we'll be going, Pac-12 title? Top 3 team? Probably. And that's what happens every year, it seems like.
Seemed like there's a boost for Oregon State after they're under the Elite Eight?
You know, I think they're going to do a lot better job with transfers. I think they've found, and good for them, they evaluated themselves, I think. This is an outsider perspective, and said, we keep bringing in these high school kids, and they either transfer, or we kind of don't get the right guys because they don't fit, and they end up going to the Big Sky, or they move on to a lower level. Let's maybe target some transfers and have some success there. You make an Elite Eight run and bring back some key pieces, also lose some key pieces, but can point to this team and say, hey, we've got a nucleus. We need a couple more bodies, and we've got a chance to be a pretty competitive team in the Pac-12, maybe make the tournament again next year, build off this Elite Eight run. And I think that's attractive. I think there's a really good chance we start to see Oregon State competing for transfers. They lost one today to Florida. He also had Kansas in his top handful of schools, but they were in the mix for him. And that's the kind of thing you want to see with Oregon State, is they've already got a nucleus that's pretty solid. Let's see what they can add as secondary pieces and potentially make it back-to-back tourney runs, Pac-12 titles. And I certainly think that's in the cards. I look for them to add some transfers and some impact transfers here in the next few months.
What do we think of the NCAA and in the football recruiting? Does it seem like it's ever going to return back to normal? When is this timeline of going to be of kind of a normal recruiting cycle and window opening back up?
Well, it's already been extended through May 31st. That's the bad news. So we're not going to see any movement, official visits, unofficial visits that coaches can meet with kids face-to-face until May 31st. But all signs, programs, high school coaches, high school kids, high school trainers, parents, everyone is moving forward under the assumption that starting June 1st, this dead period that's lasted 14-plus months will finally be lifted. Kids are scheduling official visits for June. Oregon's got the number 2 offensive tackle in the nation visiting in August. It looks like all indications are we're going to enter into a quiet period. That sounds worse than it is. Dead to quiet sounds like an upgrade, but you're still saying, wait, a quiet period. Quiet period is just you can meet with kids on your campus, but you cannot meet with kids outside. In other words, you couldn't go meet them at their homes. So that's a pretty typical period to go into, and it's a lot noisier than it sounds being the quiet period. We will see a massive, massive uptick in visits. It will start visits again starting June 1st.
What has kind of been the impact of high school football being played in the spring in Washington and Oregon here? It's been weird. Most states we saw play in the fall. Has the spring really affected the recruiting front? I mean, it's a dead period anyways, but are kids really losing out that much as we thought they would?
You know, I think I mentioned this before. This really was only going to impact a handful of kids. Oregon is not 200 mega prospects deep, but there were a handful of kids who missed time potentially in their junior year or didn't get looks because of the school they were playing at as juniors, and they could have used some senior film. I look at a guy like Jefferson's Dante Myrick. He's going to Western Oregon. He's 6'6". He's 285 pounds. He can run sideline to sideline. And people who have seen him, I've sent his tape, you know, kind of without giving name or where he's headed to coaches. And everyone's like, well, there's an FBS scholarship kid. What year is he? And I was like, no, he's going to Western Oregon. And people cannot believe it. And the reason is he got hurt as a junior, didn't have a junior year, had no idea what he was doing as a sophomore. He was just kind of, no disrespect to the kid, but kind of a dumpy, chubby kid. He didn't know what he was doing. He's grown into his body, figured it out. And you literally just watching a handful of plays, you look at him and go, I watched a quarter and texted somebody, who is this kid? And somebody said, I tried to get FBS schools to offer him sight unseen because it's such a slam dunk. That's the kind of kid that got lost in the shuffle. But generally speaking, we're not seeing a massive, massive dip in recruiting. Look at a guy like Riley Williams. Riley Williams is at Central Catholic. He's 6'6". 235 pounds. He's a sophomore. He missed his fall season. He's going to be an All-American. He's unbelievable. 24/7 Sports just released their rankings. He's listed as the number 7 tight end in America and has offers from Arizona State, Oregon State, and Washington. If you're really good, the fact that it moved from fall to spring for the 2023s and the 2022s hasn't really mattered. Again, the guys it's mattered for is the guys like Dante Myrick, this hidden gem out of Jefferson, who's going to Western Oregon and immediately going to be one of the most athletic offensive tackles they've ever had. By the way, look for potentially either Oregon or Oregon State to come in with a late preferred walk-on spot for him. Hmm. I think that could be very, very likely.
Wow. And speaking of the Ducks, Texas seems to be that, you know, when Oregon's rise to prominence started happening, it was, hey, they're getting out of just the state of California and dominating that, and they were getting into Texas. It seemed like Texas became an afterthought for a while. The Ducks targeting the state of Texas now again heavily?
Well, we've seen this expansion under Mario Cristobal, and frankly, I think it's gone underreported. Some of that's probably my fault.
You are the recruiting guy.
You have to see the trends, and sometimes it takes time. And I think step one was get a strong foothold in California. And I think last year was dominate the West region. Look at what Oregon did in the West region. They landed the number 2 player in California, the number 1 player in Oregon, the number 1 player in Utah, the number 1 player in Colorado, the number 1 and 2 players in Arizona, the number 1 player in Nebraska. They're starting this eastward expansion, but dominating the West region. Well, what's the next frontier? If you've got the whole West region and you're able to pluck the number 1 player out of 5 of 6 states in the West region, what's the next step? It's Texas. And you've got Steve Sarkisian there now at Texas, and as the head coach at Texas, and his big thing is, I'm going to open up the California pipeline. Oregon says, not so fast. You better build a fence around your own state because we're coming. And I don't necessarily on the hoof of it, love the 2 guys that they got from Texas. They're fine. Stephon Johnson's a 3-star wide receiver. He's the number 80 wide receiver in the country. When I watch his film, I'm not blown away and I go, this guy's so criminally underrated, he should be a top 10 receiver in America. He's not that guy, but he's good, and he's a good slot receiver, and they need that. Landon Hullaby is a 4-star safety. Very talented player. I don't look for him to end up being a top 5 safety in America. A lot of times when you take underrated guys in March, it means you expect their stock to skyrocket. Otherwise, the only guys you're taking in March are already highly rated kids because you're willing to sit on them for a full year as part of your class. But what this does tell me, these 2 Texas commitments, is that Oregon is trying to make inroads in the state of Texas. And you look at how that's worked out now. Hullaby and Johnson both know Kelvin Banks Jr. Who's he? He's an Under Armour All-American, the number 2 offensive tackle in America. And sure enough, he's now scheduled an official visit to Oregon. So it looks like Oregon is trying to start the dominoes to potentially have a footprint, not only do a great job in the West region and have a stronghold on California, but also open up Texas. And if you're a Pac-12 program who has inroads, serious inroads in California, you do a great job in the West region, and then you open up Texas. I mean, everybody knows California, Texas, Florida are the 3 best producers of college football talent. If you suddenly have California and Texas and then do a great job in the West region, you're going to start lapping the field in the Pac-12. And I think that is the vision right now. It's a tall task. You still got to pull them out of Texas, which is not easy. But if they can do it, look for Oregon to take even another step forward in recruiting in the next couple of years, if they can kind of untap Texas. Again, this was also part of Cristobal's initial plan. He brought in Marcus Arroyo. We all know, hey, everybody knows, this is the home of the Ducks, but let's be honest. Marcus Arroyo was not a good play caller. He was not a great X's and O's football coach, just flat out wasn't. But what he was and what he was supposed to be was a guy who opened up the Texas pipeline. That was his claim to fame. He's the guy that brings in Texas. And sure enough, in his first year, he got a verbal commitment from five-star wide receiver R.J. Henderson. The kid ended up decommitting. Arroyo never really materialized as a Texas recruiter. But we know from that hire, that is something that's bothered Cristobal all this time. He wants to open up Texas. I think it's coming in 2022.
Andrew Nemec, our recruiting insider, here on Thursday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. The recruiting show with Andrew Nemec, and catch his work at Oregonian and Oregon Live. Man, always appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
Andrew Nemec, wow, a lot to get to there. And it just appears, I mean, this is one of the things. Oregon is starting to just want to expand as much as they possibly can. And Texas, the next frontier, as he said. We'll have more on Oregon coming up. They had their pro day today. Penei Sewell putting on a show. Tyson Alger of The Athletic covers the Ducks. He will join us at 1:30 to talk about the pro day. And spring ball has opened. What do the position battles look like for the Oregon Ducks in a big injury already? AJ and Dusty, no AJ McCord on 1080 The Fan. All right, big news out of Major League Baseball today. Major League Baseball is moving the All-Star game from Atlanta, Georgia. Commissioner Rob Manfred saying that they are moving this year's All-Star game because Atlanta has passed a law that
Georgia.
Or excuse me, did I say Atlanta?
Yeah.
Georgia, the state that Atlanta is in, has a new voting law that many say unfairly limits the access to the ballot box. And that is something that Rob Manfred actually in his release, he straight up said it was the main reason they are moving the All-Star game out of Georgia. They don't want to. They're saying, hey, man.
And look. Draft.
And they're saying, look, if you're not going to be fair and equal to everybody who wants to have access to voting, we go. And we don't have to. And the NBA did this with the All-Star game in Charlotte, North Carolina as well, a few years back. This has been something that has happened in professional sports again. And here we are just a few years later.
So here's one thing I thought that was interesting about this, because the Braves have actually just released a statement on it as well.
Oh, I have not seen the Braves statement.
So the Braves statement reads, quote, "This was neither our decision nor our recommendation, and we are saddened that fans will not be able to see this event in our city. But the Braves organization will continue to stress the importance of equal voting opportunities, and we had hoped our city would use this event as a platform to enhance the discussion." Kind of reading on to say, unfortunately, businesses, employers, and fans in Georgia are not victims of this decision. So it's kind of a weird wishy-washy statement where I think the Braves...
didn't want it because they know the economic impact it is going to have by moving the All-Star game out of Georgia.
But what's most interesting about it than anything else is that they're claiming they were caught unawares here. This was neither our decision nor our recommendations, and we're saddened that fans will not be able see this event.
But they knew that this was coming. It wasn't like Rob Manfred surprised them, because this comes after, by the way, they had meetings amongst ownership groups in the clubs. They had meetings with the Players Association and the Players Alliance, which is current and former players. And so, you know, this is something where it was kind of a universal agreement. The Braves don't have to agree with it, but a majority of ownership groups did, a majority of the Players Association did, and the Players Alliance. Boom, Rob Manfred made a call. And the interesting part is that the initial blowback is not very, I mean, it's not going against Major League Baseball. And Usually everything in decisions that Rob Manfred makes are universally hated. This one, not so much.
Well, and then the reason being is this is really, I'm sorry, but this is atypical of baseball. You know, baseball doesn't, no, they don't make strong decisions. They don't make strong decisions on anything.
They don't make stances on things.
No, and in fact, they didn't make a stance really on your Houston Astros. Your cheating Houston Astros. Oh, they might have.
My 1-0 Astros.
Dropped a couple of, you know, little slaps on the wrist.
That's fair.
But if they wanted to be completely decisive about the decision, and I know that I've talked to you about this before and you've called me an idiot for it, but I would have just banned them for a year and just said, here's the death wish. And then I'll give the players every opportunity to move to whatever team you want to go to. That's fine. Oh. We will work to help you out. But that organization will not make money for a year.
Oh, I don't remember calling you an idiot for that. I don't mind that. I've heard that a lot. You know, very unrealistic, but
But like that's something they could have done to make a stance.
I wouldn't have called you an idiot for that stance.
This is really the first time the MLB has made a very strong and unequivocal stance.
Statement, yeah.
Just saying like, boom, this is it.
You're right.
It's interesting.
You're right. It's been quite some time since Major League Baseball, you know, did anything close to this. So Major League Baseball, no All-Star game. And they don't say where it's going to move to. So
it's a TBD.
TBD.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they're not going to play it in Georgia. So they're going to play it in a state that also they can be wide open. So they're probably going to move it to the Rangers ballpark in Texas or move it down to Florida or something where they can still get a bunch of fans crammed in the stands.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has already tweeted out saying, hey, California has plenty of room, or something to that effect.
Which has plenty of room.
Yeah, which to that effect, California probably isn't the best place. Ooh. I think California is still right up there in terms of states with COVID cases.
Right, but yeah. There were fans in the stands last night. I watched my beloved and hated Houston Astros get their butts booed off, which I thought, look, I'm an Astros fan. I thought it was hilarious. Like it was, I mean, you want to talk some quality heckling and booing? The Astros got it. And there weren't a whole lot of fans in the stands in Oakland.
That's great.
They heard it all game long. And I thought it was hilarious and totally necessary and warranted. Keep it coming. All right. That's the latest in baseball. Next hour, we'll have some Ducks talk. Spring ball started yesterday. How much faith should you put into a freshman quarterback? Not just a freshman, a true freshman quarterback. And then we'll talk to Tyson Alger of The Athletic. He covers the Oregon Ducks. Plus some quality audio, which really tells you baseball season is back, baby. But coming up next, giving up $4 million in Seattle to head to KC. Things that make you go, huh? AJ and Dusty? No, AJ McCord. This is 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.